Good morning. Welcome this morning. We're glad that you're here with us as we worship, and then we've got a bunch of stuff lined up for after worship today too, so I hope you'll stay for that. Come eat with us over here right after worship, and then somewhere in that time frame, Silly is going to be selling bookmarks or giving you bookmarks for a donation is maybe the way we should put it, and that's going to be happening out front. The line for lunch is also formed here in the hallway if you didn't see it when you came in. So probably if you are able to handle steps, your best bet is to go right out the back door and then come back in this way for lunch. Certainly if you need to go down the ramp, go down the ramp, and that's just fine. And then after lunch, stay if you're able for a little while and join us. We'll be in the office complex packing backpacks. The office complex looks like a food pantry has descended on it right now. So we'll pack enough backpacks this afternoon to get us all the way through the end of this year through Christmas. So hope you can join us for that. With many hands, it shouldn't take very long at all. Do want to invite you again today. I don't have any good metaphors about habits today, but I just want to invite you and say in October we're working on our worship habit as part of our spiritual life. And so the invitation is make a special effort in the month of October to be here and worship with us. Plan for every Sunday in October and see what that's like to have a regular worship life as part of your rhythm. So make those plans to join us each of the four Sundays in October. Lots of other stuff going on in the bulletin by way of announcements. I do need to share with you Barbara Galtney, a member of this congregation, died on Thursday, and her funeral will be on Tuesday at 11 o'clock at J.C. Green in Thomasville, and I'll be officiating that funeral. The visitation is going to be tomorrow night at J.C. Green from 6 to 8. Keep that family in your prayers. And then I had a message this morning from the Synod office asking us to keep John and Caroline Mako in our prayers because their daughter, Margaret, who has been stationed at Fort Benning in Georgia, died unexpectedly sometime in the night last night. And they're not really sure what happened. They think just one of those sort of freak things, maybe a pulmonary embolism or something, and they're not quite sure yet. But they're obviously devastated, and so we'll keep John and Caroline Mako and that whole family in our prayers today and in the coming weeks. Are there other announcements we should be aware of? Joe. Thank you. I think we have some prayer shawls this morning.
So this prayer shawl is for Suzanne Bloom. It's a friend of our daughter, Nicole. She has cancer, and Nicole says she loves prayers, so she'll be so tickled to get this prayer shawl. These here on the handbell tables are for our teen parents. The shower is this Friday, starting at 8:30. So if you'll bless these as you go by for communion. I need to have a short meeting with Agape, just right down here up front, so we can sign up for food. And anyone that can come and help would be greatly appreciated. Again, it's Friday. Starting at 8:30. Thank you.
We wish happy birthday this week to Carolina and happy anniversary to Tim and Sharon. Anybody else we ought to add to that list? Let's pray for those folks. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I think that's about the way applause should work in church. It shouldn't be expected because it's offered in praise and thanks to God, but sometimes the Spirit catches hold of you and all you can do is say yay, right? So we go with it when that happens. We stand as we begin on page 94. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us. So that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by Christ's authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, rich in mercy, you look with compassion on this troubled world. Feed us with your grace and grant us the treasure that comes only from you. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Congregation may be seated. If the children will join me for the children's message. Good morning. Hello, everybody. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. You guys can, Max, you can have a seat right up here, bud. Will you guys help me sing something this morning? We're going to hear a psalm about praising the Lord, for all the wonderful things that God has done. And I wondered if you guys would help me sing some praise song this morning. Can you do that? Judy, would you hit a G for me? It goes like this. Sing this back to me. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Can you do that? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And then sometimes we sing amen after that. Okay, I have a question though. Holy Ghost, what's that about? You guys ever heard of this before? It's another way to say Holy Spirit. It's not like a spooky, scary ghost that we think about at Halloween. It's just another way to say Holy Spirit. So, do you guys think you can sing that? Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to try it this time, and I'm going to sing some, and you guys can sing along with me a little bit, and this will be another practice. And then at the last time, we're going to see if everyone will sing with us, and we might have Judy play it on the piano too. Does that sound good? Okay, so it goes like this. I'm just going to say the words. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Say that. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Okay, so sing with me. If I can start. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You guys did really well. Okay, so this time, the very last thing we're going to add is we're going to get to the end, and then we're just going to go, amen. Okay, you guys can handle this. They're all going to sing. Judy's going to lead us in, and then we're all going to sing together. You guys ready? Let's do it. You want to stand up? Let's stand up if you're up here with me.
Hamburger.
It's always nice to stand up and sing. Okay, guys. Here we go. Praise God from job, guys. Would you fold your hands and pray with me? Lord God, we praise you and we love you. Amen. Thank you. We're not having hamburgers now, but you can stay around for lunch, and we're having lunch after. If you want to line up at that door, you can line up at that door for Children's Church, or you're always welcome to stay with us. If you brought hot dogs, we'll have hot dogs.
The first lesson for the 16th Sunday after Pentecost is from the 6th chapter of Amos. Alas for those who are at ease in Zion, and for those who feel secure on Mount Samaria. Alas for those who lie on beds of ivory, and lounge on their couches, and eat lambs from the flock, and calves from the stall, who sing idle songs to the sound of the harp, and like David, improvise on instruments of music, who drink wine from bowls and anoint themselves with the finest oils, but are not grieved over the ruin of Joseph. Therefore, they shall now be the first to go into exile, and the rivalry of the loungers shall pass away. The word of the Lord. Psalm today is Psalm 146, and it will be read responsively. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul.
I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life long.
Do not put your trust in princes and mortals, in whom there is no help. Happy are those whose help is the Lord God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God.
Who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever.
Who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The second reading is from the sixth chapter of 1 Timothy. Of course, there is great gain in godliness combined with contentment, for we brought nothing into the world, so we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. But those who want to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and in their eagerness to be rich, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. But as for you, man of God, shun all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and for which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses, in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep the commandment without spot or blame until the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the right time. He who is the blessed one and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, it is he alone who has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. As for those who in the present age are rich, command them not to be haughty or to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but rather on God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, generous and ready to share, thus storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that really is life. The word of the Lord.
The Gospel according to Luke, the 16th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus tells this story. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus, in like manner, evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." He said, "Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. they should listen to them. He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. It's a fun developmental window we're in right now at our house with our kids. Some of you got to see that this morning as they ran around here. Baby sister, who doesn't really qualify as much of a baby anymore, can pretty much run along behind big brother and keep up with him fairly well, talk when she wants to talk, and they're close enough in age that that they play hide and seek and chase each other, and it's not unusual to find one or the other one setting the other off in fits of giggling. But we're also to the point now where the strong wills that have been present for a very long time have more and more capable little bodies to act on those strong feelings they have. So multiple times a day we have these conflicts over who took what toy from whom, and the tantrum that comes from somebody not wanting to share mommy or daddy at this moment. And unfortunately, these little conflicts sometimes boil over into bigger offenses. Usually it's just screaming and tantrums, but occasionally there's some swatting and even biting still. Big brother is pretty wise now to the fact that when he acts out in these ways, he's going to get bounced to time out right away. But he's also noticing sometimes that when little sister does the exact same thing, she gets more leeway, and he's not happy about that. "She needs to go to time out," he'll cry as he fixes this serious and concerned look right on me. And sometimes she does, but she's also only 16 months old, and time out doesn't always make sense for her. And in those cases, our parenting task is to explain the answer to his ever-present question, "Why?" And it goes something like this: "I'm sorry she tried to hit you. She doesn't understand. That's not okay. But she's a baby, and it's our job to teach her that we don't hit. But right now, she still doesn't know yet." And that not knowing means that she gets a pass more often than her brother does. Sometimes life works like this, right? We aren't always held responsible for things that we don't know or understand. It's not a hard and fast rule, though, is it? Because if you get pulled doing 80 and a 45, "Officer, I didn't know," isn't going to get you very far, right? Because sometimes it's your responsibility to know. But it is true that there are some situations where you just can't act on knowledge that you don't have. There's a classic pastor pet peeve that's a good example, right? What percentage of people in the hospital does the pastor visit when nobody tells her they are there? Zero, right? Sometimes you just can't act on information you don't have. And that's sort of how this rich man tries to frame his situation in this parable from the 16th chapter of Luke. The rich man is going, "Oh man, this is terrible. Father Abraham, you know, if only I would have known, I would have acted differently." And so he launches into this bit where he asks Abraham to send Lazarus to his five siblings, you know, to give them warning so they'll know what he didn't know. But in the parable, Abraham reframes the problem. They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them. I mean, if they're not going to listen to Moses and the prophets, somebody rising from the dead isn't going to make a bit of difference for them. Apparently, the issue isn't that the rich man and his siblings aren't aware of what's expected of them. It's that they are aware. They know exactly what they should be doing, and they've chosen not to listen. At our house, this is exactly why Big Brother gets bounced straight to timeout, much quicker than his little sister. when he's doing something he knows better than to do. The implication of this parable is that the rich man knew better. He can't pretend he didn't know Lazarus's need. Lazarus was right there at his gates. And what's more, he knows Lazarus by name. Did you catch that? He says, "Abraham, send Lazarus to dip his finger," which means not only did he know some poor soul had been lying at his gate, he knew him. He knew who he was and where he came from. He knew his name. He knew the need. He had every opportunity to do something about it. He just chose not to. That's what this parable is about. It's not a teaching moment from Jesus about the afterlife or how you earn one place or the other. The point Jesus is making is about God's will for the world that's already in breaking. Specifically, God's will that there not be poor people neglected. In the parable, the rich man knows better. And in the telling of this parable, Jesus makes it clear to the crowd and to us, we ought to know better too. Because at this point in the Gospel of Luke, that the poor should be cared for is not new information. The whole beginning of the gospel starts by proclaiming good news to the poor, the lowly, and the powerless. I mean, before Jesus is ever even born, his mother Mary launches into this song that we call the Magnificat. It's a song of praise to the God who has lifted up the lowly and filled the hungry with good things. That's before Jesus ever even makes it on the scene, right? And then before Jesus' public ministry starts, you have John the Baptist announcing the coming of the kingdom. And he's telling people to repent, right? And they say, well, okay, yeah, but what do we do? Like, what do we really need to do? And John the Baptist says, well, if you got two coats, give one to somebody in need, right? And then Jesus starts his public ministry, and the very first thing he does is stand up and read from the scroll of Isaiah. And you know what he picks to read? He stands up in the synagogue and said, "The Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor." And this is just the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, right? It's just the tip of the iceberg in the whole care for the downtrodden theme in Scripture, which was not a new idea that Jesus came up with, right? God's people were always expected to look out for the poor. From the 10th chapter of Deuteronomy, "The Lord executes justice for the orphan and the widow, loves the stranger, and provides them food and clothing." The 23rd chapter of Leviticus, "When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and the alien." So even the hard work that you put in by yourself to grow these crops, you're not supposed to pick it all even, because what if someone who has need were to come by? This would be a way that they would find food. And goodness, the whole book of Amos that we read some from this morning and we heard from last week, the whole book of Amos is an announcement of judgment against the people of Israel. And you know why this judgment is being announced against them? Because they have trampled on and oppressed the poor. And the list really could go on and on and on. What Jesus is getting at in this parable, it's not new information. It's as old as the scriptures themselves. See the humanity in those who are suffering and walk with them. Should be as basic as don't bite your brother. We ought not be able to remember a time when we didn't know this in our bones. The reality is, Jesus has risen from the dead. And with his resurrection, we receive the promise of the kingdom. The reign of that kingdom, it's already begun. And it looks like Jesus caring for the poor and the vulnerable, and Jesus expecting us to do the same. Because we have been claimed, we have been saved, and we have been called in the waters of baptism. And because of all that, we know better than to stand by while our sisters and brothers suffer. People are hungry in this world of plenty, and we know better. People are homeless in this community, and we know better. Our government proposes slashing the number of refugees allowed into the United States this week to about 19% of what the average number has been. And we know better. The kingdom of God is at hand, and it looks like Lazarus, the man with sores all over his body, so bad that the dogs came and licked him. The kingdom of God looks like Lazarus being cradled in the bosom of Abraham, relief of that suffering. Not because Lazarus did a thing to earn it or deserve it, but because he is a child of God, inherently worthy of dignity and love. The needs of this world are great, and we know better. So with that knowledge, what are we going to do?
Let us confess what we believe by use of the Apostles' Creed, found on the screen. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at
together as one to pray for the church, the world, and all of God's creation. Watch over the church, O God, so that we place your good news above all worldly gain. Deliver us from the temptations of comfort and complacency. Lord, in your mercy, watch over your creation, especially the life-giving water that sustains us. Heal oceans, rivers, and lakes around the world, where drought and floods make turmoil of our settled ways. Give strength for healing and rebuilding in affected communities. Lord, in your mercy, watch over the nations. Lead us away from fear and hatred. Show us instead how to welcome the stranger, give shelter to those fleeing violence, and provide food to those who are impoverished. Lord, in your mercy, watch over those in any need. Have mercy on those who are grieving, suffering, lost, lonely, oppressed, underemployed, and imprisoned, and especially we especially remember our members and friends who are on our prayer list, the family of Barbara Gautney, the family of John Mako, and those we name before you now. Help us to be instruments of your love as we reach out to meet the needs of these in our midst. Lord, in your mercy, watch over all caregivers. Give strength to those who attend to relatives, serve the sick, minister to prisoners, and bring food or communion to the homebound. May they bring joy to those they visit. Lord, in your mercy, assured by your promise to hear us, we lay our prayers before your throne of grace, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Peace of Christ be with you always.
Also with you.
We share a sign of Christ's peace.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love, through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and Merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy.
In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." We pray as Jesus taught, "Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
For the people of God." You may be seated.
Thank you.
stand. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. God of abundance, with this bread of life and cup of salvation, you have united us with Christ, making us all one with all your people. Now send us forth in the power of your Spirit that we may proclaim your redeeming love to the world and continue forever in the risen life of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Hope you will stay and join us for lunch right out here, and let's go ahead and bless that. Gracious God, you give us so much in this world. The greatest gift we receive from you is salvation in Jesus Christ. Call us, Lord, to use what we have in service to you. Pray that you would bless the food and the fellowship that we share today, that they would strengthen us for that service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's sing.
Go in peace. Serve the Lord.